Today, Shirin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tess. We begin at the very top, Tess Omad Aleph. We're learning today the Lili Nishmas Rita Horowitz, Rivka Chaya Bas Riv Tuvia. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. So, we remind ourselves that in yesterday's share we had the opinion of Rabbi Yishmol, Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, who said that our Mishnah was in accord with his opinion that Yovel starts from the beginning of the year, Echad B'Tishrei, as opposed to the other opinion, which says that Yovel starts on Yom Kippur of that year. Rabbi Shmuel had learned it out from V'Kidashtem Eshnas HaChamishim Shana to teach us that the entire year is holy, therefore it starts from Rosh Hashanah. However, obviously the Chachamim don't learn that, so what do they do with that Pasuk? So the Gemara begins very top Tesom and Aleph, the Rabbanon, the sheet that it argues with Rabbi Shmuel. What do they say? Shnas Hamishim Atamone, the I Atamone Shnas Hamishim V'Yachas. So they darshan that pasuk, but he darshed the Shnas Hamishim Shana to teach us that it's only the Shnas Hamishim that is considered the Yovel. However, you don't count at all the Shnas Hamishim V'Yachas. Tosus does not go with the word V'Yachas. Tosus just said that it should be Hamishim Achas, meaning that the Ein Shnas Hamishim Rishona L'Shvi'is Haba, that we don't count that this 50th year is also the first year of the next cycle. That's connected the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We brought down this machlokes between Yehuda and the Chacham. So therefore, that's what the Gemara says. Lafuke mi the Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, Shnas Chamishim Ola Lekanu Lekan. Kamash Rulon, that these Chacham and the Rabbanon here do not agree with that, Delo. They hold, like the Chacham's opinion, that the 50-year cycle, the 50th year is a separate year by itself. It doesn't count as part of the first 49, and it's not the first year of the next 50. It's the 50th year. It's the Shnas Yovel, which is just a Yovel year. Rabbi Yehuda holds no, that 50th year is the Yovel year, but it's also year number one in the next cycle. And therefore, after another 49 years, you have two cycles gone when it's only 98 years, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whereas for the Chachamim, it takes 100 years to have the two Yovel cycles. Now, that is the opinion of the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. In yesterday's shiur, we also said Udemosifin Michol Al Kodesh. We brought down that everybody agrees that there is this concept of adding on from the chol, from the weekday, from a something that is not holy, and make it holy. We are Mosifin Michol Al Hakodesh. So this concept, how do we know that it's true? Everybody seems to hold from it. We'll see that there are two different ways to learn this out. Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmol. So now let's look at that. So the Gemara asks, how do we know that this concept that we add, the Mosifim Michol, Al Kodesh, that we add on something to the Kodesh for that was previously Chol, but we add on something to make it a little bit extra Kodesh. You'll see what I mean in a second. You know, what's the source for this idea? So we're going to darshan the following pasuk. Sheishes Yomim Tavod. Now, this is clearly talking about Shabbos. The weekdays before Shabbos, the 6 days before Shabbos, you work. Uvayom ha-shvi'i tishbos. And on Shabbos, you rest. Now, the next part of the pasuk is what we're going to first darshan right now. Bechorish uvakotzir tishbos. This pasuk means that when you plow, bechorish uvakotzir, when you harvest, you shall rest. Now, what does this end of this pasuk mean to teach us? The first part clearly talks about Shabbos. Does the end part talk about Shabbos, or does the end part talk about Shemitah? And this will be machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmol. So Rabbi Akiva says the first part talks about Shabbos, clearly. It says, Sheish Yom Tavod. So that's clearly talking about the 6 days of the week. And Vayom HaShvi'i Tishbos is clearly talking about Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva understands the end part of the pasuk, Becharish Uvakatzir Tishbos, is talking about Shemitah. Einot Tzorech Lomar Chorish V'Kotzer Shel Shvi'is. He says, you don't have to tell me that you're not allowed to go and plow and harvest during the Shemitah year. As Rashi explains, the Al Karchach, you must change paces in the middle of this pasuk. Yes, while the first part is clearly talking about Shabbos, the second part is talking about Shemitah. The Reisha, the Krabi Shabbos, clearly that's Shabbos. The Ksiv Sheizu Yomim Tabot. But Sefer Becharish Uvakotzir Tishbos, that's talking about Ashvi'is Koi. That is dealing with Shemitah, with the Shvi'is year. Why? Because the Ashabbos, if you're telling me that it's a continuation of Shabbos, oh, you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to harvest on Shabbos. Chorish v'katzir, who the osir? Shar melachos mi sharu. But everything else is also an osir. So why would the pasuk single out only Charisha and Ketzira? So therefore, it must not be talking about Shabbos, according to Rabbi Akiva, but the end of the pasuk is talking about teaching us the following din. You don't have to tell me that it's dealing with an Isser of Harisha and Ketzira during Shemitah, because we already had that. Shari Kfar Nemar, the Pasuk has already taught me that Ubashano HaShviyis, Shabbas Shabbason Yeh La'aretz, the Shemitah year, it's a Shabbos, it's a resting year, a sabbatical year, Shabbos LaHashem, Sod Cholos Yisra, L'charme Cholos Yismar. You're not allowed to go and plant your field, and you're not allowed to go and prune your vines. So you're not allowed to do that. I know that already in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to do these types of activities that deal with the planting and the plowing and the harvesting of the field. Because as the Pasuk says, Shari Kfar Nemar, Sod Cholos Yisra V'Gomer, the Pasuk that I just read, the Gemara quotes part of it. So therefore, what do the words in the Pasuk Becharisha V'Katsir Tishbos refer to? Elo, it's teaching us this din of Mosif and Michol HaKodesh. Elo Chorit Shalera Shviyiz HaNichnas L'Shviyiz. You're not allowed to go do the Chorish and the Katsir. You're not allowed to do that in the Erev Shemitah year. HaNichnas L'Shviyiz. In the period of time, Erev Shviyiz HaNichnas L'Shviyiz. And likewise, the Katsir Shal Shviyiz HaYotze L'Motze Shviyiz. And likewise, the harvesting that's done after the Shemitah year also continues to have the Kedusha of the Perish Shviyiz. So all the dinim of Chorish and Katsir are applicable both pre-Shemitah and post-Shemitah. So you're not allowed to do Chorish in a certain amount of time before the Shemitah, and you're not allowed to do the Katsir without it having the Kedusha Shviyiz in a certain amount of time post-Shemitah. Ah! The Mosif and Michol HaKodesh, this is where Rabbi Akiva learns it out from. Now, Rabbi Yishmael disagrees. Rabbi Yishmael says this pasuk is all referring to Shabbos. When the pasuk says Sheish Yomim Tavavu V'Yom Shviyiz Tishbos, it's certainly talking about Shabbos. And then B'Chorish U'B'Katsir Tishbos is also talking about Shabbos. How does he darshan it out then? How does he answer the point that Rabbi Akiva had made that are only Chorish and Katsir also in Shabbos? No, everything is Katsir and Shabbos. Why would it only mention Chorish and Katsir? So Rabbi Yishmael says no. There's a very good reason why it only mentions Chorish and Katsir. Ma Choritz Rishus. Af Katsir Rishus, just like Chorish, the plowing is only Aser if it's a plowing that is a Rishus, because there is no mitzvah to ever plow the ground. As Rashi explains, V'Chorish U'Bakatsir Tishbos U'Bol L'Amevdcha, it's coming to teach us, Ma Chorish Ein L'Cho Chorish Shal Mitzvah, there never is a plowing of mitzvah. And he says, V'Afilu L'Zroa L'Tzorach Omer U'Shtei Alechem, and even though we do have a mitzvah to go bring the carbon omer from barley, so somebody has to plant that barley, and to bring the bread, the grain for the shtei halechem, somebody has to plant that. Shari yimotza chorish, ain't a chorish. So he says no, because if you find the field plowed already, there's no mitzvah to go and plow it. Vani osro l'cha b'shabbos, and therefore, just like such types of plowing are prohibited on Shabbos, plowings of rishus, so to af kotzir rishus, the Gemara says. Rashi continues, Af Katsir Shani Osir, the only type of Katsir that's also on Shabbos is Bishel Rishus Ani Osir L'cha, when you're doing it for your own purposes. But if you're doing a Kitzira, for example, for the Karban Omer, Yotza Kitzira Omer Shu Mitzvah. So when Pesach comes out on a Friday, so that means that Friday night is the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is when they would go and harvest the barley for the Korban Omer that we brought on Shabbos morning. You're allowed to do that. Both the harvesting of this barley is Docha Shabbos, as well as, of course, the bringing of the Korban is Docha Shabbos. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yishmael says we need the Pasuk to teach me Bechorish U'Bakotzir Tishbos on Shabbos, to teach me the comparison being Chorish and Kotzir, that just like Chorish is always a Rishus, and that's why it's Aser, so to only Kotzir of Rishus is Aser, but not Kotzir of Mitzvah, such as the Ktziras HaOmer for the Karban Omer, that is permitted. No, that's a great teretz. We understand how Rabbi Yishmael understands the Pasuk, but how does Rabbi Yishmael learn out that Mosif and Michol HaLakodesh, Rabbi Akiva, that was the source. But what's the source of Rabbi Yishmael? The Mosif and Michol HaLakodesh. Minole, how does he know that? So Gemara says, Nafkale Midetanya. He learns it out from the following Brisa. Now this Brisa quotes another Pasuk. This Pasuk deals with Yom Kippur. And it says about Yom Kippur, Shabbas Shabbason Hu Lochem. Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbas Shabbason. And V'inisem Esnav Shosechem. And you have to do the five afflictions that we bring down, that a person has to afflict himself on Yom Kippur. He's not allowed to eat, he's not allowed to drink, he's not allowed to anoint himself, he doesn't wear shoes, he doesn't have tashmi shamita. These are the inuyim of Yom Kippur. Now, it says that it's Shabbat Shabbason, but it says B'tisho Lachodesh. This occurs on the ninth day of the month, Bo'erev, in the nighttime. Now, It then says, Me'erev ad Erev, for the entire Erev until Erev period of time, Tish Besu Shabbatchem. That's the whole Pasuk. Now we're going to darsh in each part of the Pasuk. So it says, V'inisim es nafsho seichem betisha. It says, you shall have these afflictions, these inuyim, on the ninth day of the month. Now, that sounds like it means ninth of Tishrei, not the tenth of Tishrei of Yom Kippur. So Yachol betisha, I might have thought the Pasuk is telling me that all these inuyim apply on the ninth day of Tishrei. You have to go fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Tambaloma, no. It says Bo'er means the ninth at the evening time, which means already on the 10th. Ah, if it's telling me the 10th, Iba Erev, Yochum Misha Tekshach, I would have said that you only start fasting on the 10th. That you don't have any extra period of time. There is no Mosifin Michol Ala Kodesh, that you have to fast a little bit before Yom Kippur starts. So if it only said Bo'erev, I wouldn't know that. So Iba Erev Yochum Misha Tekshach, I would have said only at night time. That's why Talmud Lomar Betisha. No, you have to also fast on the ninth day. So okay, it said, how do you explain that? Is it the ninth day or the tenth day? So the Gemara says, the Braisa tells us, Maschil Umisane Mibod Yom. You have to be Mosifin Michol Halakodesh. You have to go and start the fast when it's still the ninth day, at the end of the ninth day, and then you fast, of course, the entire tenth day. Maschil Umisane Mibod Yom when it's the ninth day. Belami Shemosifin Michol Al Kodesh. That teaches us that you have to add on a little bit to the Inuyim of Yom Kippur, the fasting of Yom Kippur, on the 10th day of Tishrei. A little bit is added on at the end of the 9th day of Tishrei. No, that would be great for Mosif and Alachol at the start of Yom Kippur. How do we know that you also have a Tosefes Yom HaKippur, not only at the beginning, but also at the end? So Talmud Lomer, it says, May Erev ad Erev. It has to be from the full night. So you're fasting and having the Inuyim a little bit before Yom Kippur, then the entire day of Yom Kippur going into already the full Erev, meaning a little bit to the start of the 11th. And therefore, B'Yitziyasu Minayim, from the words Talmud Lomar, the Erev at Erev, that tells me that you have Tosefes Yom Kippurim after Yom Kippur. You fast a little bit into the 11th as well. Now, that tells me Shabbat Shabbason, in the Yom Kippurim. That tells me that there's a concept of Mosifin Michol Al HaKodesh for Yom Kippur. Shabbos Sos Minayim. How do we know that this is applicable to have a Tosefes Shabbos for the beginning of Shabbos? We always start Shabbos. You should make Shabbos a little bit before Shabbos, and you should try to end Shabbos a little bit after Shabbos. It's technically over. You should be Mosif Michol Al HaKodesh. How do we know that this applies to Shabbos? So the Pasuk at the end says, Talmud Lomer Tish Besu. It tells us you shall rest. It already told us it's Shabbat Shabbos, so of course you shall rest. So the Tish Besu comes to teach me that there's a din of Tosefes Shabbos both before and after Shabbos on Shabbos. And how do we know Yontif? Yom Tov Minayin. The very last words of the Pasuk says, Tish Betu Shabbatchem. Talmud Lomer Shabbatchem. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel learns out that there's a concept of Tosefes Mechol al HaKodesh, the Tosefes of Shemitah, a Tosefes of Yom Kippur, Tosefes of Shabbos, and a Tosefes of Yomim Tovim, both before and afterwards. Ha-Ketzad. Now, how do we know this last drasha, Tish B'tu Shabbatchem, was referring to Mosifim Mechol al HaKodesh? Because it tells us, Komakom, every place, Sheesh Bo Shvus, where the word Shvus is used, so then Mosifin Michol Al Kodesh. That comes to add Michol Al Kodesh. Tosus points out, this comes for also Lerabo Shvius. This terminology also now tells us Shvius as well. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the first pasuk that we brought down, Sheish Yom Tavo, Yom Shvius, Tishbos, Bechorish, Bechorish, Tishbos, was only talking about Shabbos. It had nothing to do with Shemitah. And this pasuk we just brought down, Shabbat Shabbason, Hilochem, Yinisim, Esnaf Shosechem, Etishol, Lechorish, Be'er, 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 Nishvisu, Shabbat Chem. That's only talking about Yom Kippur, and now Shabbos, and Yomim Tovim. So how do we know about Shemitah? So he says, whenever you have the word Shvus, Mosifim Michol Al Kodesh. So therefore, that teaches us that this applies as well to the Shemitah year to have a little bit before and a little bit afterwards that are also Kedusha Shvius. And that's the Pasuk. Ubashanah HaShvius, Shabbos Shabbason Yel Oretz, Shabbos LaShem. So that teaches us that it then applies to Shemitah as well. No, this is a very good point. He dashes this pasuk beautifully. What does Rabbi Akiva do with this pasuk? Rabbi Akiva used the pasuk Bechorish Ubakotzir Tishbos to teach us the din of Mosif and Michol HaKodesh. So he can't use this pasuk V'inisim Esnaf Shosechem to teach that. What does Rabbi Akiva do with this pasuk? Hi, V'inisim Esnaf Shosechem Tisha my Ovidle. It seems to be extra words here telling me on the 9th, is it the 9th, is it the 10th? What does he do with that if it's not Mosif and Michol HaKodesh? So we have the famous drasha of Rabbi Akiva over here, Miboile Lechidetoni Chia Barav Midifti. This drasha of Rabbi Akiva was known in the name of Rabbi Chia Barav, who came from Difti. And what is this drasha? Because the Tani, Chia Barav Midifti, Chia Barav, who came from Difti, as opposed to there was a Chia Barav, is our great Rav, and he had a son Chia as well. So this is a different Chia Barav, who came from the city of Difti, and he taught us as follows. This pasuk, when we darshan it out, that you should afflict yourself on the ninth day. Do we fast on the ninth day? In fact, it's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth day. We're supposed to fast on the tenth day. To teach us the following din. And this is the source of this din, that you're supposed to eat on the ninth day, specifically l'shem mitzvah. So kol ha'ochel v'shosa b'tshi, if somebody eats and drinks on the ninth day, ma'al of a kosov, we consider it. In Shemayim, they view that person, and we turn to Tesla Mibes, hilu his ana chi vasiri. A person who does this l'shem Shemayim, he does this to prepare himself for Yom Kippur. He does this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to go and eat on the ninth day. So we view such a person as if he fasted both the ninth day and the tenth day. And you look at the top Tosos, he says, klomar, kimoshet sivo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sanos v'sanet. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you should go fast on the tenth day, and you fasted. So too, if you eat on the ninth day, it's as if you fasted on the ninth day as well, even though Avahashta Vade also Lisanos, you're not allowed to fast on the ninth day, as the Gemara in Psachim tells us, Marbury the Ravina, Kule Shasa Yosef Betanisa, he would fast all year long, with the exception that one that we're interested in, Umale Yomadi Kippurah. He wouldn't fast on Erev Yom Kippur, he would eat then Vesavaloka Rabbi Akiva, and he held like this opinion of Rabbi Akiva. He points out, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no such drasha. Last Leilach drasha. And that explains why the Gemara there says that on Shavuos, Atzeres, and Purim, and Mali Erev Yom Kippur, it didn't say HaKomodim, that you have to go and eat on Erev Yom Kippur, as opposed to on Shavuos and Purim, it said HaKomodim, because this HaKomodim isn't applicable to Erev Yom Kippur, because Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have this drasha. Okay. Gemara now continues and says, Tana Rabbanan, we bring down another Braisa. Now here we're going to be darshaning three psukim, two of which we've already had. These are from Perek Chav Hei Pasuk Tes and Perek Chav Hei Pasuk Yud. Perek Chav Hei Pasuk Tes is the Pasuk Vavar to Shofar Trua B'Chodesh HaShvi Besor L'Chodesh B'Yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar B'Chol Aretzuchem. So this Pasuk is the Pasuk that tells us that you have to blow Shofar in the Yovel year on Yom Kippur. Then the next Pasuk, Perek Chav Hei Pasuk Yud, that's the Pasuk V'Kidashtem Es Shnas HaChamishim Shana U'Krosim Dror Bar. We spend a lot of time dashing this Pasuk now, that you'll sanctify the 50th year and you'll proclaim liberty throughout the land. That's what's on the Liberty Bell, this Pasuk. U'Krosim Dror Bar Aretz L'Chol Yoshvel, for all the people, all the inhabitants. And then it says, Yovel Hi T'Yelochem V'Shaptem Ish Alachuzaso Ish Amishpachto Toshuvu. So this is the second pasuk. The first pasuk deals with the blowing of the shofar in Yom Kippur. Second pasuk tells us that you have to sanctify the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout the land, and it's called Yovel, Yovel Hi. And then the end of the pasuk tells us Vishaftim Ishalachuzaso, that everybody has to return the ancestral fields, the steyachuzah, back to the original owners in the Yovel year. And these are the three components that we're now going to be darshaning in these psukim. So we start off Tana Rabbanan Yovel Hi. This pasuk, Perichafei Pasuk Yud, tells us that it is called Yovel Hi. Yovel is going to be a ribui, and the word hi is going to be a miut. And we'll have two different ways of darshaning this ribui and miut here. So, Yovel Hi, the Pasuk tells us, Apa Pishalo Shamtu, even though you didn't do Shemitah. In other words, even though the people did not go and return the Steyachuza back to the original owners, nevertheless, it's still called Yovel. That's the ribui, that it's Yovel no matter what. And Alpha Pishalo Taku, even though they didn't do the previous pasuk, they didn't do Haviru Shofar B'chol Atzichem, they didn't blow the shofar. Nevertheless, it's still called the Yovel year. All the dinim apply to Yovel. However, Yochel, I might have thought, Alpha Pishalo Shilchu, even though they didn't go and cross him drawer, Boritz, if they didn't go and free all the people that were the Yiddisha Avodim, that had stayed on beyond the 6 years that they worked for if they stole and they couldn't repay their debt, so they were becoming an Eved Ivri, and they said, Ahavti es Adoni, Beshtiv Esbonoi, Lo Etzei Chavshi, I don't want to go free, so they stay Li Olam, which means until the Yovel. So if you didn't set those people free, then it's not called the Yovel. Talmud Lomar, he. So the Yovel must be only he. It must be that you let the people go back. The slaves, the Yiddish slaves, have to go and be freed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Yehuda. So he darshans the Yovel as the Ribui to say that it's still called Yovel even if you didn't do Pasuk Tes, which is blowing the shofar. And even if you didn't do the end of Pasuk Yud, which is the returning the fields to the original owners, the Steachuza. That is what Yovel is coming to be marbet, that it's Yovel, even if you didn't do that. However, if you didn't do the Ukrosim drawer, Bechoretz, if you didn't go and free the slaves, Bechol Yoshvecha, so then he is a meal to say then it's not a Yovel. It doesn't have the status of being a Yovel year. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda darshins the Pasuk. It doesn't include what we call Lifnei Fonov, which is the Pasuk that's Pasuk Tes, which is too far in advance, so it doesn't include that. It doesn't include that which is called Achrov, which is the part that tells me about the Steachuza, but it only includes what we call Lefanov, which is the Krosim drawer. That's how Rabbi Yehuda darshins. We'll see a little bit more about this in a moment. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, darshins differently. He says, when the Pasuk tells me Yovel, he agrees. It's a Riboy on Yovel, and it's a Miut on he. So he says, he says, even though you didn't go and return the ancestral fields, even though you didn't return the Steachuza, that's the Achrov Pasuk. And he says, Afabi Shalosh Shilchu, he says, even though you didn't do the Lufanov Pasuk, Ukrosim Draw Ba'aretz, L'chol Yoshvel, even in those situations, it's still called Yovel. That's the Riboy. Yocho Afabi Shalosh Taku, he says, but the previous Pasuk, if you didn't do the Haviru Shofar B'chol Artzechem, so you might have thought that that's still Yovel. So he says, no, Tamud Lomar, he, the Miut of he, says, if you didn't do that, then it doesn't have the status of being a Yovel year. Now, what's going on? What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? What's the reason behind Rabbi Yossi? So Rabbi Yossi tells us, V'chi me'achar shemikro echod marbe, since you have one pasuk, Yovel, that is being a riboy, u'mikro echod, he, being a miut, memayit, so how do you know what it's being marbe and what it's being memayit? We, Rabbi Yehuda, and I, Rabbi Yossi says, have a difference of opinion. So mipnei ma'ani elmer, why do I say that we darshan the words Yovel, he, as afa pishalo shilchu? I say the ribui part is even though you didn't do the shilchu, you didn't go and allow the Yiddisha avatim to go and return back, nevertheless, it is still called Yovel. And likewise, even though you didn't return the steachuza, it is still called Yovel. However, the ain Yovel, but it's the miyud of he, the ain Yovel, elam kim toku, but if you didn't blow the shofar, then I say that it's not called the Yovel year. Why is my drasha the way I said it? It's possible that there are no avadim, right? Today, there's not a single Eved Ivri in the entire world. So it's possible that a world could exist and not have any Yiddish avadim that are avado liolam, that have to be avadim till the Yovel. It's very possible that there won't be this concept. However, the Efshol liolam below tchiyah shofar, but it's impossible to imagine a world that you don't have a shofar. So you're always able to blow shofar, and there may be situations where you don't have shiluach avadim. So therefore, if you have to be memayet something, it must be the one thing that you absolutely will always have, which is tchiyah shofar. So therefore, without tchiyah shofar, it's not called a yovel year. But yeah, it's possible that there won't be any steachuza. It's possible that there won't be shiluach avadim. Those things, therefore, since it's Efshol liolam without them, therefore, that's what Yovel is being marbet. That's the reasoning that Rav Yossi gives first. Alternatively, Dover Acher, you could argue that shofar is not up to the individual. It's up to the Beis Din, and Beis Din will never make a mistake. Dover Acher, Zum Yisrael Beis Din. Beis Din has the obligation to blow the shofar. There's no individual obligation for a person to blow shofar on Yom Kippur in the Yovel year. It's Beis Din's obligation. Beis Din will definitely do what it's supposed to do. However, Vizu ain't a Masula Beis Din, but the freeing of a slave, for example, that's not up to Beis Din. Beis Din can say all you want that, yeah, all the slaves have to be free, but an individual might choose not to free his slave. The slave may choose not to go free. So therefore, Vizu ain't a Masula Beis Din, it makes sense to be Marbe, that it's a Yovel year, even if you're not freeing the slaves, and it makes sense to say that it's a Miyot over here, that if you don't blow the shofar, then it's not a Yovel year. Now, that's the two reasons that Rabbi Yossi gives. More asked, why did he need a second reason? What was wrong with the first reason? My Dover Acher, why did you have to give me the second reason, the Zu Mesula Beis Din, Zu Eina Mesula Beis Din? What was wrong with the first reason, that Yev Shal Yol V'lo Shliach Avadim? So Gemara says, no, V'chi Tem, you're going to tell me that Yev Shal Delech Chai B'Sof HaOlam V'lo B'Shalach, because you might want to argue and say, how can you tell me that there's not a single Yiddish slave in the entire world? When the din of Eved Kanani was extant, when people did have the din of Eved Kanani, Mistoma, there always were some Avadim that wanted to stay on till the Yovel. So therefore, that's very difficult to say that Efshol Yolam below Shiluach Avodim. So therefore, if you want to argue like that, so then I gave you the second reason, Zu Mesula Beis Din, Zu Eina Mesula Beis Din. That's why I gave you the additional din. Oh, very good. Bishlam Rav Yossi, we understand Rav Yossi's reasoning very well. Kiddi Kamar Taimei, as we just explained, his two reasonings. Elul Rav Yehuda, my timer. What was the reasoning for Rav Yehuda to say that the intrinsic miut of Yovel, he, of he is that you have to go and free the slaves. And if you don't free the slaves, it's not called the Yovah yet. Blowing the shofar, going and returning the steyachuza, that's not intrinsic. That's the Rebbe Yovel telling me that it's Yovel no matter what. But he, if you don't free the slaves, then it's not Yovel. So where did Rebbe Yehuda get his shita from? So he explains, Amakrav, because the pasuk says, Ukrasim dror ba'aretz, you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land. That's what it says again on the liberty belt. Now this is the phrase in the pasuk immediately before Yovel he. So Rav Yehuda holds Uksavar. He says Mikra Nidrash Lefano. This is what I said before. I said we'd get to it now. This understands helps us understand better. When it says Yovel He, so that goes on the immediately preceding clause, which is talking about Ukrosum Dror Ba'aretz, but not below Lifne Fano, but not on Pasuk Tes, right? Ukrosum Dror Ba'aretz is in the middle of Pasuk Yud, Perikov He. And immediately following Ukrosum Dror Ba'aretz, we have the words. So the Yovel, he goes immediately on the thing preceding it. But it doesn't go below Lifnei Panav on Pasuk Tes, which is the Pasuk Vavaritim Shofar B'chol Ha'etzuchem. So therefore, you can't darshan the he on the Lifnei Panav, the one, the clause that is two in front of it. You can only darshan it on the clause that is immediately in front of it. Now, that is his explanation. And likewise, it doesn't say it here in the Gemara, we'll see it later on for the next Shita, you can't darshan on the thing that comes after it as well, which would be the return of the steyachuza to the original owner. Okay, that is now, we understand Rav Yossi, now we understand Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara just has an aside now. The Kuli Alma, you see, Bein Rav Yossi, Bein Rav Yehuda, they all say that the word ukrosum dror ba'aretz, that you proclaim liberty, dror means liberty. L'shol cheres. How do we know that? My Masha, how do we know that the word dror means liberty? The Tanya, because we have another Brisa. The Brisa declares, Ein dror el loshon cheres. The word dror means freedom. Amar of Yehuda, how do we know that? My loshon dror. What does the word dror mean? Kimidayer beidayara umovil schora b'chol medina. Rashi explains this as follows. Kimidayer beidayara mishu birishuso logor b'chol malon shiirtza. A person who has the freedom to go about and live in any hotel that he wants to, in any place that he wants to. So such a person is free and umovil schora b'chol medina, and he can go about bringing his merchandise any place in the land. So such a person is called free. And that's why everybody agrees that Ukrosum Dror Ba'aretz means freedom. Proclaim liberty, freedom throughout the land. Okay, so those are the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, respectively. Now the Gemara is going to bring down a third opinion. This third opinion is Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba says in the name of Yochanan, Zudi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. These two first opinions we brought down first, Rabbi Yehuda and then Rabbi Yossi. Each of them was might one thing, a different one thing from the word he. However, Aval, the Chachamim have a different opinion. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Shloshton Ma'akvus Bo. The Chachamim say that all three of these things, Pasuk Tes, Vavartim Shofar, and the beginning of Pasuk Yud Lefnei, right in front of Yovel He, who crossed him drawer, and the return of the Steyachuza, which comes afterwards, all of them are absolutely required. And if you can't do all three, it's not called the Yovel Year. All of them are included in the Miut of He. And if any of them are missing, it's not a Yovel year. Kesavre mikra nidrosh lefanov, vilefnei lefanov, uliachrav. Because the opinion of the Chachamim is that the words he can go on not only the thing immediately preceding it, like Rabbi Yehuda had said, but it can go on the thing that's lefnei fanov, that is the blowing of the shofar, and it can go on the achrav, which is the returning of the steyachuza. And of course, it goes on the thing lefanov, which is krosum dror ba'aretz. So therefore, the opinion of the Chum is that all three are included in the miut of he. So obviously, the question is, what do you do with the word Yovel then? Foxiv Yovel. So how do you darshan anything from Yovel? There's nothing left to darshan. What are you being marbe that it's called the Yovel year, even if you don't have that? So the Gemara says, no. How would afilu b'chutz laretz? That tells me that Yovel applies even to chutz laretz. Gemara says, that's not true. Foxiv ba'aretz. It says, ukrosim dror ba'aretz. The din of Yovel is only a din of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no. How bizman shenoig dror ba'aretz, noig b'chutz la'aretz. That's telling us that if the Yovel applies in Eretz Yisrael, so then the Yovel applies as well in chutz la'aretz. However, bizman she'eino noig ba'aretz, if there is no din of Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, so then eino noig b'chutz la'aretz, and there is no din of Yovel in chutz la'aretz as well. So unless the people in Eretz Yisrael do all of these three things, the opinion of the Chachamim is then there is no din of Yovel in Chutz Laretz, even if they want to go and do these things in Chutz Laretz, so there is no concept of Yovel in Chutz Laretz, that's specifically setting the slaves free, that's the din that would apply in Chutz Laretz, and therefore, that is what the word Ba'aretz in the Pasuk is coming to teach us. Okay, so we have our three shitos. We had Rabbi Yehuda, we have Yossi, and now we have the opinion of the Chachamim, and now we go weiter. So we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Ulinatiyah. We also said that Echad B'Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for the new trees that are planted, the saplings, the Linatiyah. So now, the Gemara tells us that this din applies for Orla, that you count the 3 years of the tree from Rosh Hashanah. When you pass through Rosh Hashanah, that is the next year of the tree's life. Minalim, how do we know that this is true? So Gemara says, because the Pasuk tells us, V'chisavo l'aretz, when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, unetatem kol eitz ma'echol, you're going to plant fruit-bearing trees, v'araltem orlo so es pirio, and you'll have the din of orlo, shalosh shanim yelochem arelim lo yechel. The first 3 years, the fruits of the tree, you're not allowed to go and eat. That's what the Pasuk says. They'll say, shalosh shanim arelim. Now, uksiv, right afterwards it says, ubashana hashviyis, in the next pasuk it tells us, in the fourth year, ye kopiryo kodesh ilulim l'Hashem, that will be the din of kerem revai, or neta revai, and you will go and bring the fruit up to Yerushalayim and eat it like with the kedusha of ma'aser sheni. Now, it says, ubashana, shalosh shanim, ubashana, so that is a gzeirah shavah, v'yolav shana, shana mitishrei, and we learn it out from Yerushas Hashanah and Achris Shana. And we learn out, they'll say, Mireshish Shashana, Arachris Hashanah, to compare that just like that din of Mireshish Hashanah, Arachris Hashanah is applicable, that's the Yom HaDin starts on Echad B'Tishrei, so to over here, the din of the Arla starts from Echad B'Tishrei to count the next year. Where it says, why? Why don't we learn it out to Parshas Pinchas, Echad B'Nisan, Chod Sheh Hashanah? Why don't we learn it out that it should be, in fact, Gzeirah Shavah, to compare it to Echad B'Nisan? Why are you comparing it to Echad B'Tishrei? We had this already twice before in the previous Shurim, and here's the third time that we have it. V'ligmar Shana Shana Minisan, T'chsiv Rishon Ulochem L'chad She'ashana. So why don't we compare that the year of Arla should start from Echad B'Nisan? And we get the same terrace that we gave before, because it makes sense to make the Gzeirah Shavah as exact as possible. In general, you can have Gzeirah Shavah that doesn't even have the same words, right? We have the famous Gzeirah Shavah. The word Ba and Shava are considered Gzeirah Shavah, because all the Gzeirah Shavahs are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're all Halacha Moshe Sinai, so we can't say which words are a Gzeirah Shavah not. So we had a Kabbalah. But in general, we try to match up the words as much as possible. And here we have a choice of comparing Mereshis HaShonah V'Yadachri Shonah, which only has the word Shana, to our Orla Din, which only has Shalosh Shanim Arelim, or Ubashana Harviyis, only has the word Shana. So therefore, it makes sense to compare Shana to Shana, rather than compare it to the Pasuk, Rishon Hu Lochem L'chad Sheh HaShana, where it also brings down Chadashim as well as Shana. And that's what the Gemara says, Don in Shana She'eni Mo Chadashim, Mishana She'eni Mo Chadashim, we prefer to Darshan, the two Psukim that don't have the word Chodesh in it, rather, they Don in Shana She'eni Mo Chadashim, Mishana She'eshi Mo Chadashim. So that's the preferable way, if you have a choice, of which way the Gzeirah Shavah goes, to do it exactly as possible. Gemara continues quoting another Braisa, Tana Rabbanon, Echot HaNoteya, whether a person plants, Echot HaMavrich, or whether a person does Havrocha. Havrocha is a certain type of grafting. Rashi explains that Mavrich means Kofef es Hazmoros Ba'aretz, you bend over the branch into the ground. And Tosus adds to this, Umechaseh Ba'ofer, and you then cover it up with dirt, and it allows it to take root into the ground. And then subsequently, V'kotzeitz be'emtzak kvifosel, and then at the bend point, ultimately, once it takes root, you go and cut it off. V'osa yisur yotzi litzad acher. Kofuf ma'at mi'ikor ilan, and it's therefore bent over a little bit different from the original tree. That is called mavrich. And likewise, echra markiv. Likewise, if one does harkova, Rashi explains that harkova is ilan b'chavero. You go and attach one branch onto another branch, from one tree to another tree. So all of these actions, whether it's direct planting, or it's havrocha, or harkova, all of these types of different grafting, are also to be done erev shviyis in the pre-Shemitah year, Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. In the 30 days beforehand, you're not allowed to go and do these types of activities. That is the din min haTorah, that you're not allowed to do this Netiyah, Havrocha, and Harkova. Likewise, the Brisa tells us, Oslo Shana, in regards to the dinim of Arla, so if you had planted 30 days before the year started, so then, not talking here about Shemitah, but any year, so if you planted more than 30 days before the start of Echad B'Tishrei, so then, now when you're in Echad B'Tishrei, you're now in year two. Umutu l'kaimam b'shvi'is. And if you had planted them before the 30 days before the Shemitah year starts, so then you're allowed to go and maintain them. They don't have to be uprooted. You don't have to go and be ochre them. If you plant something in the Shemitah year that you're not allowed to do, you have to be ochre it. But here, as long as you planted it more than 30 days before the start of the Shemitah year, so then that's called a regular planting. And that is perfectly permissible, and you don't have to go and uproot it. Umutu l'kaimam b'shvi'is. However, pachos mishloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, if you did this, which you're not allowed to do, no teya, mavrich, or markiv, in the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, then, number one, lo also lo shana, it's not considered as a year in regards to the din of Arla, that's an irregular, nothing to do with the Shemitah year, but the din that he's teaching us is, in this brisa, for also l'kaimam b'shvi'is, you're likewise not allowed to go and keep it in the ground during the Shemitah year, you have to go and uproot it because you planted it, you did the grafting, be'isser. As Rashi explains, the two different dinim over here. At Tishrei Abba, if you planted it within 30 days of the upcoming Tishrei, it doesn't count as a year in regards to Arla. It may know Erev Shis, if it's not a Shemitah year, then it doesn't apply for the din of Arla. It's not yet a full year. It's therefore going to be, when you hit Echad B'Tishrei, it's still in year one of that tree. And if it's a Shemitah year, then also L'Kaimo, then you're not allowed to keep it in the ground. You have to go and uproot it because of the din of Tosefes Shvi'is, Shemosif and Michol ala Kodesh, which comes as full circle, that has the status of already being the Shemitah year in that last month of the sixth year. This is a great breakpoint. This is an unusual daf. We did it at the very first word of the daf, and we end off at the very last word of the daf. Have a great day.